This is RSBNB Update, episode 555, recorded Friday, February 26, 2016, highlighting RuneScape's accessibility. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update, the Double XP Weekend Edition, once again. Joining us this week, joining Colton and myself this week, is Tanis. Hello, Tanis.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
Tanis is a writer for Informer, written a good number of articles, and one we're going to be talking about that relates specifically to this weekend, but we'll get to that in just a little bit. So welcome once again, Tanis.
Thank you.
And Colton, the usual co-host.
Yep, that's me. I'm still here.
Yeah, still hanging in there in the... Well, I guess it hasn't been this chilly this winter, has it?
No, I mean, we got like 10 inches of snow just now, a couple days ago, but it's not been too brutal, no.
Really? It's been above freezing here.
Yeah, it was about... It was a nasty snow. It was probably the wettest snow I've ever experienced, because it was about 32, 33 degrees the entire time it was falling, and literally it would just melt on impact of anything. So we got like 10 inches of snowfall, but here in town we only got about 6 inches of actual accumulation because so much of it melted.
All right, well, there's your weekly weather report for the Midwest U.S., I believe. I believe that's what the region's called, right?
Yeah, we're in the Midwest.
Okay.
Heartland.
So this week's RuneScape update is RuneMetrics. That's the headlining update, and that is, of course, the RuneScape analytical tool that was promised to us at the beginning of the month. Now, this is way, way more than just a standard XP tracker. It can track your XP per hour, time to next level, damage per minute counter, too, if you do combat, accuracy, as well as when you're doing combat. Also a drop logger that's easily toggleable between things you pick up or things that the NPCs just drop. So RuneMetrics is here. So before we get too far into it, what did you guys both think of it upon examining it?
I like it. It's nice. I mean, I'm a gold premier, so I'm super special, and I get 2 free weeks, so that's nice. But, I mean... It's cool. It's not exactly what I think I... The main reason I would use it is for XP analytics.
Right.
And that kind of stuff. Gold per hour is nice, especially for skilling. those kinds of features are really cool.
Yeah.
It can even show, like, how much money you're losing, which is kind of nice. Or not nice.
Or not. Yeah.
Angle of things, but it's much deeper than anything out there offers. Obviously, it's something that's by Jagex, so it's official. It's not some third party thing, and I think that a lot of people out there, this will service a good amount of people.
Yeah, indeed. Tanis?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess we should tell everyone that there is a free version and a pro version.
The free version, that's very limited.
Very limited, yes. I had the free version for, I think, about 10 minutes, and then I went and bought a bond.
Me too.
And at first, I think it might have even been the last time I was on the show, I remember thinking, that is way too much for this. Like, I thought a bond a month, way too much. And then I got it, and I thought, oh, this is a great deal. This ain't bad at all. I was totally wrong. I'm really, really enjoying it. I like the graphs. I don't know why. It's just pretty. I don't know. Like, I don't know what it is about the graphs, but I kind of like that feature.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a data junkie too. So anything that deals with graphs or analytics is a win for me. Mm-hmm. But I'll let you continue with your review.
Oh, I didn't know that I liked analytics really at all. I've never been a number person, but I really enjoy this. Like, and what I figured was, you know, money isn't that hard to make. And if I can just make enough in-game GP for a bond, then it's all good, you know?
And, yeah. And
that seems to be a really good way.
And with that, let me, of course, touch on the price now that you mentioned that. You can buy it in-game for 1 month. You get a bond, or 5 bonds for 6 months, 10 bonds for 12 months. Or I'm not sure what the American pricing is, but for me in Canadian dollars, 1 month is $6.19, 3 months, $18.59, and 12 months, $61.99. If you want to spend real dollars on it.
Hmm.
So I think the bond way is the way to go because it's so easy to make GP this day and age if you're looking for it. And I mean, if you like numbers, you're going to want this. And I mean, I am traditionally opposed to additional features that add on to a game like this. But even for myself, I must say that some of the analytics it provides is very, very interesting. So that's where I stand on this. Oh, this is very interesting. Initially when they released this, it did not show virtual levels. It's showing my farming as a level 120 now.
Yeah, it tracks those, and it will also give you your ETA on your next virtual level. So that's a really nice feature, actually.
Yeah, I thought that was really neat, too. That's possibly, those are the main reasons I enjoy it.
Yeah. So. XP gain graphs, once again, if you're in-game, they automatically populate, showing you XP per hour. Estimated time to next level. Really good if you're, looking at training methods and really want to find the best way to train. And, of course, the traditional caveat applies here. You get a stopwatch, you time something for 10 or 15 minutes, multiply it by 6 or 4, and there you go. There's your XP per hour. That's the old-fashioned way of doing it if you do not want to have rune metrics, but it's all right here.
Yeah, it's convenience factor, really.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I found really eye-opening was watching the numbers tick up as I train divination, because I've been farming the energy still, and you can basically split this across a day and see how much money you're making per hourly cycle. So it even breaks it down into minute XP and GP gains if you look at the graphs on the website.
Mm.
So, I mean, there's really not much else that can accomplish this. So no. If that is what you're looking for, then Rune Metrics is your thing. I see a use case for it where you get 1 month of Rune Metrics when you're starting off a project, like a farming project or maybe a rune crafting project, just saying, and you calculate what the best GP per hour and the best XP per hour options are going to be using Rune Metrics, and then you just go with that, and you can purchase Rune Metrics as you need it using a bond. So I think that's a really good utility aspect of it, given the fact you can purchase with bonds. So I'm glad Jagex gave us that option. But aside from that, I think benchmarking combat is also going to be really good. The fact you can see DPM and potential DPM, that is the DPM you're missing out on if you're not being accurate enough with your weaponry. So there's that too for people who want to optimize, action bar layouts or God Wars dungeon layouts, which, is going to be important going forward. So,
yeah, the compare and contrast, like what you're talking about, is it's so, so good. I've always been a critic of the whole, stopwatch method. I hate the YouTube videos. It's like, oh, Aerith's going to give you about 300k Slayer XP an hour. Yeah, except it's not, okay? It's not. You may have to go to the bathroom. I just hate it. Any little thing.
You may not be a robot.
Yes. And the thing about this is if you're really on it, it's going to project that. But if you slow down, it adjusts right then. And so for me, with Invention, I was trying, it had been out for a while and I had my training methods pretty much set. But when this came out, I thought, well, let's just compare and see if some of these methods might be better. And then and I did a few different ones, and it really helped me isolate what I wanted to finish Invention out on.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, the graphing is consistent across wealth and skills, so you do have that going for you. Right now, I just got it on a daily view here of the amount of GP that I brought in doing various things, so you can do that. You can also do the XP graphs for that as well, so you can say, you know, for the last 7 days, show me what my stats have been like and XP. And then not only can you do it for all skills at once, you can drill down into the very specific skills. And as you guys can probably see, if you're looking at my graphs, you can see that I have been slacking off in my farming.
Oh, no.
I'm ashamed.
So, now, million-dollar question. Rune Metrics. Is this something that becomes so integral to the game that it furthers the no XP waste culture that exists?
I don't know. I feel like we're already so far down a hole, you know. Why not just dig a few more feet? No, I think it might a little bit, but I think it also is just a nice just sort of quality of life feature to have. I don't know, because we already had the XP trackers at the top right and everything like that. So maybe it is because it's even more in depth, but I don't, that's not the first thing I think of, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna, I don't think it changes that part of the game really at all. I don't think it'll be like an indispensable thing. A lot of people I know have tried it, and they like it because they just like to see, they just like to see what they're doing. But no one, none of my friends have been like ashamed that, oh, I've only been putting up 72k DPM and I should be at 94, whatever, fill in whatever number you want there. But you know, I think the people that are like that are like that, and they're doing the other methods. This makes it easier for them to track it, but they were doing it anyway.
All right. Just a couple complaints on the UI front, from the website at least. Number one, you can't see a breakdown of all the quests. It says 221 quests completed, which, I mean, I don't need to see that, but if I did not have quests completed, it would be nice to see that which quests were not completed. Now, I'm not sure. I know, Colton, you've done all the quests. I'm not sure about you, Tanis. But is there a way, if you have not completed all the quests, to see quests that you have not completed?
I haven't done much in the way of the website, really, this week. I've just been really busy. And as of the Gobi, yes, I had my quest cape until the Gobies, I think. Because I was just in and out, you know, and I haven't done the last week's quest yet either, but that's all that I haven't done.
All right. If you could log into the Rude Metrics website and check that at some point during the show, that would be excellent.
No problem.
Another issue that has been brought up by our clan Quest is that we use the adventurer's log, the public-facing adventurer's log, to verify people's quest points and the amount of quests they've completed for ranking. Mm. There's no public front end to Rune Metrics, as in I can't see a public page of Colton's Rune Metrics.
And there's no way for me to make any information public?
I mean, yeah, not that I can see. There's no settings here for Rune Metrics at all, so... And they did say that Rune Metrics will be replacing the adventurer's log, so that is slightly concerning to us.
Yeah, that is a bit of an issue.
Another fun thing that the adventurer's log has that Rune Metrics doesn't have is the 3D model rendered with WebGL of your character. Now, that's not a feature that you absolutely need on Metrics, but it's something that's kind of nice to have, if you know what I mean.
And they just really recently added that, so it seems like a strange thing to sort of make defunct just not, or just a few months later. I don't know. It's awful strange.
And, I mean, I'm not upset as a fan site owner about this, because, yes, you do need to pay for all this XP tracking, but, I mean, we cannot do... the GP or the combat stuff for you. We can only do the XP, and it's not going to update nearly as quick as Rune Metrics would. So if anything, this gives us maybe a bit of inspiration of what a future incarnation of the RSBNB high score should look like from an XP point of view.
Yeah.
Well, you might want to incorporate some quest tracking in that as well, because you cannot find out what you haven't done.
And see, I can't do quest tracking if Adventurer's Lab or Adventurer's Log goes away. You can tell I'm getting ahead of myself here towards something, but
yeah, it just gives me a number. I can't click on it. I can't. I don't know how you're supposed to do that.
And I mean, this is definitely early days for the product, so I'm sure that there would be a good way of mentioning this to Jagex and saying, okay, we would like to have these two features, and it would make it a lot more useful to us. And I mean, we don't even need to see the full metrics of your adventurers or of your rune metrics, Colton. All we need to see is your activity log, your skills, and your quests, and that would be good enough. You can keep the rest private.
Yeah.
So, that's where I'm at with rune metrics. And overall, I like it, but it's not something that you need to pick up. And I feel that players should not feel the need to pick it up, if you know what I'm saying. It's not something you need, and players shouldn't feel the need that they ought to be forced into picking this up, because they really aren't. So if you're out there and you're thinking, oh, maybe I need rune metrics, well, I'm going to say that you don't need rune metrics unless you are a data junkie and want the ability to drill down into exactly what's happening on your character.
Yeah. And yeah. Honestly, I love data, but I mean, I have it for now at least, and I like it. I don't know if I like it enough to pay for it, because it's just not, it's a nice feature. It's a luxury to have, but personally, I survive just fine without it, and I think I can survive without it. So it's really up to sort of personal value in how you feel about this sort of thing.
Yeah, I think so too, definitely. I mean, the happiest thing for me was seeing how much GP per hour I was making. But that's just me. And I mean, when a new skilling method comes out and we're benchmarking something, that would definitely be a good reason to have it, I think. But the price is kind of steep. 10 bonds for an entire year, that's about 90 million GP right now.
Well, it is half that if you are a gold premier. I forgot to say that earlier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Which helps and adds an extra incentive to what was a semi-lackluster
And see, gold I wish they would have told us about this going in.
Yeah. Well, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah, I guess. And I mean, I think the only other thing I would have done would have been to give all the players a 1 week trial and give the Premier Club members a month long trial. I think that's what I would have done differently for the trial phase.
Get people, whet people's appetite.
Yeah, exactly. 1 month if you're not a Gold Premier Club, or I'm sorry, 1 week if you're not Gold Premier Club, and 1 month if you are Premier Club.
Seems fair.
Yeah. But that's rune metrics. I'm not sure that there's anything else to say on it. But yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah. Lots of fun data in here. And, you know, we actually do have some. Yeah, this is exactly like the RSBNB skill comparison calculator, believe it or not, on the XP page. Let me just pull that up here, because you can go to rsbnb.com, calculators, and then skill comparison. Enter your RS name and then sort by a goal level or something like that. And I think we support, yeah, we do support level 120 skills on the skill comparison calculator. So we do offer that already.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. I'd like to do something with the skill comparison calculator. I don't know what, though. Now is not the time for a feature discussion, though. Alrighty, moving on to other parts of this week's update. God books have been improved.
Yeah?
Yeah, they now...
Vastly.
Yeah, vastly, definitely. They now sit in your pocket slot rather than the shield. Which is, I mean, kind of not surprising, given the fact that since EOC, God books have kind of been on the thing that, you know, I mean, do we really want to use something like this in our shield slot? I don't think so. So it's good it was moved to the pocket.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Each book has been given a special proc effect that can only happen if the book is charged. We'll get to charging mechanics in just a moment. But Armadale's is a tornado that spins on the location and deals damage in 4 ticks. Bandos is a shockwave that once again deals damage and reduces defense, much like General Gradar. Guthix has a Sword of Edicts that falls on the target. Saradomans has a lightning strike that just deals damage. Zamorak has a dark explosion that once again deals AoE damage. And the Ancient One is an icicle hit, much like the one that Nex does. So these are very heavily inspired based on attacks that you see in the God Wars dungeon.
Yeah.
And from this, it looks like Saradomin and Zamorak are the best, probably followed by the Ancient One.
I've heard Armadale is pretty good if your target doesn't move.
Well, but it depends on what you're fighting. It depends on what you do. For higher level bosses, I have a friend that went with the Bandos because of the defense reduction, and that's really super helpful. I like Nex and
5% basically Nex and higher. 10 seconds.
Yeah, it believe it or not, because when you're doing that high level stuff, every little bit helps.
Okay, that's interesting.
I know it doesn't sound like much, but I trust these guys. They're good at what they do.
Did they use Rune Metrics to evaluate their performance?
You know, I have no idea. I should ask them that.
See, that's the thing you can do with Rune Metrics now, is you can do A/B testing like that. So,
yeah, that's true.
And it extrapolates, so you don't need to. But, I mean, of course, you get more data. It becomes more accurate. You can now use Godbook pages on the Godbooks to recharge them. That makes me happy from an economic point of view.
Yeah, it's a cool feature, although they are sky high right now.
Yeah, and I mean, when you think about it, where were we with the page market before this came out? Nobody really bought them because, well, the books were useless and everyone had them.
I saved up, I think, a Gothic's page, an Armadale page, and a Saradomin page.
All right, you've been doing all those clue scrolls, haven't you?
Uh-huh. And they sold for way over market. It was great.
How much over market?
Like ridiculous margins. I think I sold at least the Armadale for like 500K for one page, and which compared to what market is, I think it's like in the, like around 100K. So
Armadale
typically like three or
page
four times.
One is at 46K.
Really? That's all it was at? Oh my gosh. Yeah, I sold the Armadale page I sold for 500. The Saradomin was just under that, and the Guthix was around what it was around 350, I think the other two were.
All right.
So still a lot of money for what it was, but I was pretty quick on the release, and so.
Yeah, and these do require level 30 for the regular version and 40 for the illuminated version prayer to wield. And that's because the main attribute of these, aside from, you know, it's a small strength and magic and or rather a strength bonus for all three classes. It's small, but you also get a prayer boost for this. So if you're using prayers, these books can help. Now the question I have, and I didn't look it up, is where does this fall in line for prayer boosts of items? Because
what do you mean?
Like, you know how you get a prayer boost when you wear a certain item?
Mm-hmm.
Like your quiver. Or
yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
Yeah.
So it's like, where do these fall now? Plus 7 prayer.
I mean, I think the quiver is like a 3 or 4 prayer bonus. So that's pretty, it's fairly significant.
Okay.
It's definitely a big help. It's more than what Scrimshaw's would give.
Yeah, Ardoin Cloak 3 is 6. That's the top cape.
Oh, wow.
We don't have the Scrimshaw data, unfortunately.
Ardoin Cloak 3 is higher than Ardoin Cloak 4?
We don't have 4 in the database.
I'm wearing mine right now, and it's 4 prayer bonus.
Okay, that might be an error then.
That's weird. Sorry. Anyhow.
All right. Also, the unfinished god books are also wearable, but they provide weaker
Wait a
bonuses
minute.
and no effect.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm actually wearing an Ardone cloak right now, because I'm thieving and it's a 4.
Yeah,
so I've
that's
got
what
the
I was...
right.
Yeah.
Max cape is 5.
Huh.
Okay, I guess that got rebalanced somewhere. We'll have to look into that. And now it costs you to reclaim them from your bookcase. 100,000 for a completed book and 120K for the illuminated books. So you do not want to lose these books.
Hooray for gold sinks.
Yeah, and I mean, not only gold sinks, but item sinks as well. Getting rid of pages and keeping them flowing through the economy is always good.
Yeah,
so,
very true.
There's some happiness on that front.
And good on people that do clues.
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, I personally don't see myself using these because you need to wield them in the pocket. And if I am going to be looking at ways of preserving life points, I'll just use the Vampirism Scrimshaw.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is a lot of people have been testing and comparing like DPS boosts to Scrimshaws and things like that. And I think the general consensus is that right now it's not worth it, especially with the extra cost of god books. Like, they're nice and stuff and they're cool, but Scrimshaws are a better bang for your buck.
Yeah. Do we know how often this proc happens?
I think it's about every 30 seconds from what I was watching on their stream this week.
Okay. Well, that's not too bad then.
No, and I think the other use for this is like, I don't know if we can think of it as like just a high impact item. What I think of it as, there are plenty of times when you're doing Slayer or something like that, and you really don't have anything in your pocket slot because you just don't really need
right.
anything there. And to have that extra prayer bonus, you know, just slows down your prayer drain, you're running soul split and your turmoils and all that stuff. I think it's more useful for those instances than. That's
very
straight
true.
Out
very
DPS.
True.
Yeah. It's still fairly expensive, though. That's the thing, is like, because page prices right now are so incredibly inflated.
Yeah, and
they want to wait for the economy
but
to calm down.
You don't have to have them charged, right?
You don't get
bonus.
The proc if it's not charged.
Right, but you get the prayer bonus.
Yes, you do.
Oh.
So that's
okay.
what I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Fair
that's,
enough, then. Fair
if
enough.
You're not like using Bone Crusher or anything like that, that seems like a great alternative.
It costs charge, 45 minutes is how long one page lasts.
That's not very long.
No, it's not.
Especially
not
if it's 500k pop.
And plus, I mean, also, Colton, Bone Crusher can be used without putting it in your pocket.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. But it's nice because it saves inventory space.
But here you can get a nice prayer bonus.
That's true. So that's probably a better use of your space on your person.
Well, and that's if you're fighting something with bones, because you know, not everything has them.
So I haven't done Slayer in a long time, but I guess using prayer and soul split and turmoil is something that is done with Slayer these days. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. I was not.
Scripts practically infinite. I mean, you don't even have food, really.
Interesting. All right. Well, that just shows you how long it's been since I've done Slayer seriously. All right. So there's some new books. I think people are generally happy with those. So if there's no objections, I'm going to move on to the invention fixes.
Carry on.
Alrighty. So a number of things this week have been fixed for invention. There's now an extra warning before disassembling an item that you don't have inventory space to recover all the gizmos for.
Okay. Cool.
That's good.
Augmented equipment now gives a warning when attempting to cast alchemy on it. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to have all that invention XP go down the drain.
Yeah, no.
The looting perk can no longer be bypassed by logging out and back in or switching worlds.
Didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, I don't think it was that overpowered, but it's good that it was fixed.
Yeah.
The lab coat and light bulb hat can now be stored in the player's magic wardrobe.
Oh, cool.
Monkeys and ferrets can no longer be disassembled.
More living beings that...
First it was the corpse of woman, now it's monkeys and ferrets. We're slowly heading towards the land of non-sentient things being disassembled.
They're stifling our medical expansion of knowledge.
And who hasn't wanted to disassemble a ferret when they've been dungeoneering? I mean, come on.
It's science. Disassembly for science.
I mean, if it was the ferret in dungeoneering, is that one in your inventory?
No.
Oh, okay. I was thinking, well, that could really screw that puzzle up then.
Yeah. No, I was just kidding because they're... Yes.
Okay. The drain rate of augmented weapons has been adjusted. Main-hand weapons are 100% the drain rate. Off-hand weapons are 50%, and two-hand weapons are 150% drain rate. So
sell staffs, buy wands.
Well, I mean, you got to remember that the two-handed weapons still give more XP.
No, I know. They're actually balanced now. So
yeah, drain rate-wise, so that's good. Because, I mean, it all adds up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the one that I kind of jumped up and down at when it was unveiled, and I hope that no one gets mad at me for this, but swapping to an augmented item as your target dies will no longer provide the same amount of XP as if the item equipped, if you had the item equipped the whole time.
No,
who
that
was
is
doing this?
And who was everybody?
Everybody was,
everybody
doing,
was
it.
Doing that.
What?
Like, oh yeah,
this also enabled people to use cannons and just tag the creatures with the kill.
Yep. Yeah, no, this was a really good thing. And I saw people like get in literal like arguments like in my streams when Invention first came out about this, because people were saying, no, they're going to fix it. And then other people were like, oh, they can't fix it. It's like, yeah, but you got to know that's like the cheapest way of doing this. I mean, because they were rolling up there with, you know, a Nox Scythe or something and then switching to the God Sword, like right before Bando died. So, you know, it wasn't right. I'm glad that they fixed it.
Yeah, definitely. This also caused a plague of problems at the Dark Beasts. You would have the Dark Beasts covered entirely with people on every world who would be using cannons to kill them and then just tagging each individual Dark Beast and getting the XP on, you know, their salamander or their crystal bow. Probably the salamander, because the salamander was cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, my only regret is that this didn't get fixed in the first batch of invention fixes, because it creates an imbalance of, you know, people who can train invention easier early on versus people who are going to be training it later. So it's just one of those things that's like, okay, this is a question of why, how did this pass QA and why was this in the game to begin with?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's kind of the same story, different day with invention, because that was one of the things that affected the people of immense means. If you had the money for these cannonballs and you had your auto loader and you had all this stuff, it didn't take you very long to do invention.
If yeah, you were doing exactly.
it with a God Sword, like a lot of us, it wasn't fast. Like, I mean, not in the grand scale. It's not slow by any means, but you know, it wasn't this, like, you know, my hair is on fire, it's so fast kind of thing.
200 mil in 2 days.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
You guys think they should have, I mean, obviously they should have made this change sooner, but should there have been some kind of penalty for people who were doing this all along, or too many people to enforce something like that?
I think they did the right thing. Just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Because if you roll some people back and it's like, oh, well, this person X got rolled back for gaining 180 mil XP, but Y got 160 mil XP. Why didn't they get rolled back? Well, we got to put a cut off somewhere. And I don't know, you're not going to please everyone at certain points. And it's inherently just going to be Unless you roll back everybody, that's the only fair way to do it. And then everyone's mad. So I think they did the right thing. Just sort of admit that there was fault and just sort of try and move on.
And looking back at this past month, that's got to be my biggest complaint with the release of this skill, is how the XP was uneven to begin with. And then we had this for about a month, and now we're supposedly getting XP the way we should be getting XP now.
Yeah, my biggest complaint is that we still don't have the fixes today, or this week didn't even address the fixes that I wanted.
Yeah, so. Apparently skilling tools are coming in March now.
Yeah, there was some delay. I mean, the BTS, he says, sorry for the delay, so they're acknowledging the fact that it's late, but I don't know why they... And now, initially, what they said would be coming would be mining and woodcutting, but now it's woodcutting and fishing. So for some reason, something happened with the crystal pickaxe. I don't know, but yeah, that's not a thing anymore, I guess. Kind of strange, but...
It's unfortunate.
Well, I just wanted to just quickly, going back to like rolling players back and all that, I think they did the right thing, because you almost have to think of it this way. That was a bug, or whatever you want to call it, that its tentacles reached so far throughout the game that it wasn't just the people that was doing that that were benefiting from it.
Yeah.
You got to think of the people that were making the cannonballs. They were actually, they're benefiting from this glitch. You know what I mean? Like, it reaches so far out that you couldn't penalize the group doing it without penalizing everybody that's benefiting. And actually, a lot of people were benefiting, whether they were doing it or not.
Looking back retrospectively, I bet something like this discussion did happen in Jagex, except, of course, with actual numbers and data. And for that reason, it's probably good that they reached the solution that they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some perks now that were buffed this week. I'm just going to mention a few of the ones that I noticed that are good. You guys can mention your own if you so choose to. But the crackling perk now periodically zaps the target for 50% of weapon damage per rank in PVM, or 10% per rank in PvP. And this previously was 3%.
Much better. That's one of my favorite perks.
Yeah.
It actually feels like an augmentation to your weapon right now.
Yeah.
It was very weak in its initial iteration.
Indeed. Dragon Slayer, Demon, and Undead Slayer perks now provide plus 7% damage, up from plus 2%. And this is, of course, per rank. So that's 7, 14, 21.
Yeah, that's much. I didn't even notice it beforehand. Like, it was non-existent.
Yeah, and I mean, what are you going to do with 2%, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The Energizing perk now only reduces ability damage by 20% instead of 100%, and no longer affects the Punish ability. This is the one that lets basic abilities gain a little bit more adrenaline than they normally would.
Yeah, it's another really good one.
Yeah, I think this is the sweet spot for this one, because if you're doing any kind of combat that's not, low-level Slayer, you're going to be using Threshold. So if you can reduce the damage by a bit on the basics but allow you to get to Thresholds faster, that's ultimately going to be a good thing. So I'll be looking into that one when I finally get around to augmenting my my weapons.
Yeah, it's very good.
The Impatient perk now has a 9% chance of triggering per rank, up from 3%, and now increases adrenaline gain by 3%, up from 1%. This is good. This is definitely one of the... I think this was the top perk I was looking at when Invention first came out. And once again, this is with basic abilities. So more adrenaline, and you just get to the thresholds faster. So I think Impatient might actually be better than Energizing if you want to have a chance at doing it.
Well, and Impatient, that's the one from the Zami components, correct?
Yes.
See, I thought that was really important because it cost more to make that perk than the other ones we've mentioned before. Like, because you can only make it from Zami components, so essentially it costs more to make it, and it really wasn't that good to begin with.
Yeah. Colton could disassemble some of his pages for that.
Oh, that's true.
Or my chaps and helmets that are worth nothing.
Okay, that's fair.
I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I have like Mando stoles. Yeah, no one wants the stoles.
Okay. Like, and now another one that I'm really excited about. I don't know if it's just me, but the Enlightened perk now gives plus 3% per rank and gives item XP, not skill XP. So that's 369 item XP.
You're not alone. I have that on a couple of my items on, I think, my bow and my chest plate. And that's one I liked in its initial form. It was like, it's not too great, but it's nicer than most of the others. But now it's even better. So,
yeah. So all around, some pretty good invention tweaks this week. Any that you guys would like to add in?
I've got some non-invention ones that I kind of find interesting. Sure. If that's okay. For one, the Dwarven Instinct aura crumbled to dust this week. If you were a premier, gold premier or silver premier from last year, so rest in peace. But later that very same day, because there was no warning that this was going to be a limited time content, it was sort of thought that players would hold on to this aura forever, really. But basically in response to the players not being too pleased about this just being taken away without anyone saying a word, they're looking at rebalancing it and bringing it back into the game soon, but basically just a nerfed version, because they said in its initial form it was not balanced for permanent addition to the game, because it was a really nice aura.
What was the boost?
I wasn't Premier
Club last year, nor this year.
Okay, so basically it was activatable once every day. It reset on reset. And what happened is basically if you were skilling or doing anything, as long as you were gaining XP, basically every 10 minutes you would get a dwarven chest. So 7 times in an hour, because you'd get one right when you open it and all the way through. So you'd get basically 7 chests. And you could get, based on your skill level, you got sort of tiered rewards. I think 23 or 2400 was plus was the top tier for rewards. And you get anything from, like, the worst reward for the top tier of skill levels was, like, Avento seeds, like 7 of them, which cheap as all heck. But some of the better ones, you could get clue scrolls, you could get double rolls, you could get crystal triskelions. You could get 100K. That was a pretty regular one, just a cash reward of 100K. You could get some uncut dragon stones. You could get raw cave fish. And typically, one aura, I mean, for me, ran anywhere between 200K to a mil, once every day.
Okay.
Which that is, yeah, that's pretty overpowered. I'll admit that. It was just a real nice thing to have, so it'll probably be heavily nerfed once it comes back in the game. But I just thought I'd let people know that will be coming back, because they felt it was a bit harsh of them to just take it away without letting the players who'd paid for it know. So they will be bringing it back just in a nerfed form. And also... one reward from the Dungeoneering shop that I thought was rather underwhelming when it was released was the Gold Accumulator.
I put that one on my list too.
It's now, if you have, I think it's, 250K tokens, you can overcharge your Gold Accumulator so that it can get up to 21 million gold that it'll pick up for you. So lasting a long time. Which is nice, so you don't have to keep going back and buying a new one, recharging.
But why do you need something like this? What's wrong with just clicking on the GP and picking it up?
It's nice, Shane.
Well,
it's a luxury.
Extremely. Well, it's not a luxury for me. It's extremely useful.
Oh, that reminds me of something that we missed in Runemetrics. In addition to the drop log in Runemetrics, There's an option to have it toggle the amount of GP that each stack of dropped items is worth when an NPC drops it.
Huh.
That just reminded me about that. A quick aside.
But yeah, I thought that was a cool fix.
Okay, let me just say that I thought when the improved looting interface was put on Rune Labs and brought into game last year that update was entirely useless.
I hate it. I don't use it.
Oh, okay. So why do you need this?
Why would I use the improved? Because I don't use the improved looting system because it's a pain. Because it's I don't know. To me, it's broken. It's a hassle. It's much easier just to click. And not even having to click makes it even easier. Like if you're a Dark Beast, for instance, I only pick up certain drops. And I don't really like to run around a lot. I like to stick to my spot, especially if it's like it is, and it has been recently, where everything's crowded. And if you move an inch, some person decides he's going to encroach upon the territory that you have staked out. And, you know, he's going to camp out where you have moved from. And that is a pain, and I don't like that. And I like, because the Dark Beasts drop copious amounts of coins. And so that would be, for me, the perfect place for the Gold Accumulator to be at work. Because my Bone Crusher's there. I've got my Gold Accumulator. So if gold drops, I don't see a thing. And so I don't have to move. And that's nice. I like that. I only have to go pick up herbs and things. That's me.
Well, and for me, like when the Gold Accumulator came out, the problem is that it wasn't economical in the sense of once you got up to the 60K tokens, it's hard to keep them going and it's hard. I mean, and they only collected a mil. But if I am, there's many places where I miss coin drops a lot, like a lot. And my legendary pet can help with that some, but it's not perfect. And like, just for example, if I have to have a Slayer task where I'm doing elves, they drop coin stacks that I can't see. Like there's so much stuff in the way of that little area that I constantly miss them. And people would be watching me play going, you need to get a gold accumulator. Cause I didn't even know I was leaving that money on the ground. So I'm really excited about this update. I think it's going to be really helpful.
All right. Well, there's two ways of playing the game that I didn't know about then. This week in the patch notes, Vanescula at the end of... Colton, help me. What was that last vampire quest?
Lord of Vampirium?
Lord of Vampirium. Can no longer... Oh, I'm sorry. This was in Branches of Darkmire.
Oh, it's yes. Right here. So
he can no longer be killed by familiars.
Huh.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting indeed.
Wait, we attacked Vanescula in Branches?
Apparently?
I don't remember that.
No, I don't remember that either.
We did Vanstrom.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe they mean Lord of Vampirium then.
Cause... Or maybe my memory's failing. Either way.
Okay. Anyway, so there's that. And then also a whole bunch of bosses have been balanced up. I'm not going to go into the details of each one, but I'll just say who they are and what quest. Zenevia from Love Story, the Inadequacy from Dream Mentor, the Everlasting from Dream Mentor, the Untouchable, the Elusive, all from Dream Mentor, Arav and Curse of Arav. This is a big one. Got up to 20,000 life points. Dagonoth Sentinels from Blood Runs Deep, Balance Elemental from Mul'Gothic Sleeps, Colonel Grimson from King of the Dwarves, Iuni from Do No Evil. What?
They buffed the Grimson?
Yeah, 15,000 life points up from 7,500.
Because that fight wasn't hard enough to begin with.
Okay.
Wow.
Liuni from Do No Evil, Iruni from Do No Evil, Barrel Chest from the Great Brain Robbery, and Barrel Chest Mark II from A Clockwork Syringe have all been updated to coincide with what I guess is the expected norm of combat in these quests at the stage of combat evolution in RS.
I mean, most of those are good. I guess so this translates to the Dom Tower then?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
It does. like Curse of Arav, for example, his Dominion Tower variant now is 30,000 life points up from 4,800.
Okay, I mean, that makes sense. I'm shocked that they... I mean, the dwarves were hard. I did not have a good go at that fight. I'm not sure they needed a buff.
Veldaban also got upgraded to 10,000 life points from 5,000.
Wow.
Hmm.
Yeah, so aren't we happy we did all the quests when we did, eh?
Yes. Yeah, no kidding.
But I still got to do Dominion Tower, so I'll be meeting these nightmares, or maybe not nightmares going forward in the future. So
yeah, most of them ain't bad, but there's a few in there you don't really want to run into.
Yeah. But otherwise this week, Castle Wars and Soul Wars barricades no longer allow players to path around them. So as in, you can't just click on the other side and your player will auto navigate around them. You have to physically do that yourself.
Hmm.
Anything else in the patch notes before we move on to, the other things of this week?
I'm good.
Alrighty. Tanis?
Nope.
Well, this week is Game Blast and Double XP Weekend. We'll get to your article, Tanis, in just a moment. But first, I'd like to just look at the charity auction that's been going on eBay for this entire process here. As of time of recording this, this one ends on Monday. £700 for a visit to the JX office.
That'll go up.
Yeah, wow. It will. Let's see. £310 for a PS4 with Star Wars Battlefront. Mod
nice.
Raven will read out a literary piece in his Stories by the Fireplace voice. $13.87.
Yes. Yes.
£67 currently. Mod Mark will write a poem about you. Then we have a bunch of concept art ranging from $10.50 all the way up to £88. So I'm sure that'll go too. Two party hats currently at £46 and £21. A RuneScape Old School signed T-shirt at £102.
Wow.
RuneScape artboard for the KBD, or QBD rather, £62. Special effect T-shirt, £46. Mod Timbo will plant a tree in the Jagex offices in your name. £102. Personalized mug by Mod John, 36. Mod Ian's decorated chinchampa, 74. J Mod's pickled cabbage for limited use community event, £126.
Ha!
Solomon store item of your choice, including discontinued, £132.
Oh, that's cool.
Signed and framed photo of Mod Ash, £255.
What?
Yeah. Wouldn't have been my first pick.
A couple of design documents.
Community
for
is so
22
quirky.
And £35. £51 JMod party for your birthday.
Jeez.
Ooh. Wow. Mod Krista's stripy socks, male and female, $10.50 and $14.50.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah. Your name in the Eastern Lands, £162. Mod John's knitted Kingly Infling, £46. Some more artboards, £64. And Ian Gower's decorated chinchampa with cabbage for £112. And there were other things on this list too, but they do come and go, as some end on Saturday and some end on Monday, so you can bid for the entire weekend. And, of course, everything here does end up going to charity that you pay.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm sure some people are voting for these. And, I mean, I think, obviously, the most popular one is going to be the Jagex office tour.
Yeah, for those who have the cash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, of course, travel and lodging is not included. So, obviously, you'd want to be in the UK or already planning a UK trip to make something like that work.
Mm-hmm.
But any, which one of these would you guys go for?
Jeez, yeah.
There was one earlier, I don't know. I can't find it, but it was Maud Osborne would make a short story about you and would read it like really fast. So that's something that I would have certainly been interested in, but it was already quite pricey very early this morning. So I can only imagine it's up there as well.
Yeah, it's not on here anymore, so it obviously sold. I would go for My Name in the Eastern Lands. Or, of course, maybe the Maud Mark poem.
I think I would either do the J-Mod birthday, but then again, that's, you probably have to like be in the UK or something. Or maybe Maud Raven reading. I'd like to hear him do that. Oh gosh, the Edgar Allan Poe poem. The
Raven.
The Raven. Yeah. Wouldn't that be great in that voice?
He'd be good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a very, very creepy voice of his. I don't know if that's what he sounded like, but anyways. All right. So, of course, Double XP Weekend is happening. The Well of Goodwill is open, and everything that Jagex raises this weekend goes to the Special Effect Charity. If you donate 3 million GP, that means you donate $1, or Jagex will donate $1 for every 3 million GP that they get. And if you donate a bond, that is 5 million GP. So if you have some spare cash on RS, you can, of course, throw that in the Well of Goodwill. And that'll be open this entire weekend. But Tanis, you wrote an Informer article about why RuneScape is good for the accessibility and how it's improved, but also with some suggestions about where it can go going forward. So tell us why you wrote that.
Well, as some of you know, I'm legally blind, so I play RS using like a magnifier, and so one thing that I've always had to do is try to figure out ways to deal with some things that aren't exactly accessible, and so that's what I wanted to kind of bring up. At the same time, giving them credit and praise for what they have done well, because I've had a firsthand seat to see it and to know. And a lot of the changes that's happened over the years, they weren't done to make the game more accessible. That wasn't probably even on the radar. But the fact remains that it did greatly improve it. And so I kind of highlight some of those. And that's why I'm always try to be very involved in Game Blast. And I've tried to do some different things this year. I've tried to challenge people to play using the magnifier for just a few minutes, go do something just to see kind of what it's like for other people, and hoping that would encourage them to, to donate and to have more of an understanding for what Special Effect does and why what they do is so important. And, it really helps a lot of people. Did you want me to kind of touch on some of the stuff that I'd wrote about?
Well, I mean, the Informer article summarizes it very nicely. You break it down into questing, combat, and quality of life, and things that can be improved in each of these. So I'm just going to suggest that everyone go read the Informer article at informer.rsbnb.com, because we can talk about what each one of these is, but reading the article accomplishes that in time that we don't have, because we're already an hour into this show.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Yeah. So, it is a great article, Tanis, and I'm really happy that you wrote this.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
I forwarded it along to Jagex actually through the appropriate fan site channel, so they will read this.
Oh well, thank you, Shane.
Yeah,
that means a lot.
Yeah, because I mean it. Like you say, it's not something you normally think about, and we've had this discussion many times before on the show, and not that RuneScape 3 made things better, but there's things that can still be done. And I think you said that it's probably one of the better games out there for accessibility, if I recall.
Yes, it actually is. You know, and I play more games now than I've ever played. I would venture, for everything that I've played, I'd venture to say it's probably the best for me. It's the easiest for me to be able to navigate. So, you know, it does have that going for it. And, but I also want to, like, you know, there are some things that we can do that I think are, it wouldn't cost a lot. And something that I hope you all will read in the article is I really try to make a point to show that, like, these are improvements that are good for everyone, but they do, you know, they are especially good for people with visual impairments, but I think they would be nice for everyone, you know.
Yeah,
and it's at definitely. A very low cost. So, you know, hopefully, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, just to touch on the questing, for example, Dishonor Among Thieves, you mentioned, we'll just talk about this one because I think it was some room where you had to disarm the traps on the wall, right?
It's the vault puzzle.
Right,
and the
okay.
vault puzzle is especially challenging because now if you've either seen the challenge video I put out or seen my streams before, when the magnifier is engaged, that cuts down on your field of view. So see, I can see what I'm looking at much, much better, but I have much less of a field of view. So, like, just for example, right now I'm thieving elves. I'm staring right at my character, thieving an elf. What I don't see is everything else. There's no chat box. There's no action bar. There's no nothing else. No map, no nothing. That is the field of view. So with that vault puzzle, you needed to be able to see the whole spectrum because you had to watch what was going on at the vault because you had to balance like the light and the dark. While that's going on, you had to send, you know, Jared around. I thought it was his name, Jared.
Yeah,
the
werewolf. It was Jared. Yeah.
You had to send him around. And while you're doing that, you're also you had to put up those barriers for the skeletons. That is where it got really, really hard because you had to be watching all these entrances, but I couldn't see all that because if I had backed up the magnifier to be able to get the proper field of vision, then I lost everything that I actually needed to be able to see. And it's stuff like that that is just really, really challenging. And you're going, I know what you're doing and I understand it and I'm not begrudging you for it, but please ask if there is any other way. You know, is there any other way we can get the same challenge in a different way?
Yeah. So, I mean, just through hearing it through the way you described it really shows what the problem with it is. So if you can find that video, I'll throw a link to that video as well in the show notes that you made about the challenge or whatever it was.
Okay, yeah. That was one thing that I really regret. We don't have replayable quest, so I could not get the screenshots that I really wanted. I really wanted a shot of what it looked like in that vault puzzle, and I couldn't do it. Most people I knew had already completed the quest, and it was unfortunate. That was one regret that I had with it.
All
but
right.
I will definitely link that to you.
Thank you. And of course, moving on from this, you can, take part in all of the charitable activities happening this weekend. RuneScape's live stream is going to be over by the time that you are hearing this, but you'll still be able to donate to the Well of Goodwill. 3 million GP equates to $1, and every bond is equivalent to $5. So if you have extra GP lying around, why not, right?
Yeah, and let me make a suggestion to some people out there. I know Double XP Weekend, you're making lots and lots and lots of stuff that you're probably going to sell for pennies on the dollar for what you paid for it. Instead of trying to get that little bit, I encourage you to throw it in the well because it's going to do somebody a lot of good. like a lot of good.
Yeah, and I mean, even if you go to the website, specialeffect.org.uk, you can see all about what they do and the various use cases of their charity before. So, yeah, it's definitely a good weekend to be playing RuneScape.
Yes, sir.
Alrighty, well, moving on, we have a development blog that discusses lighting in the NXT beta. It's very long, and it goes through the really, really deep technical details. And the blog itself is long, too. So I'm not going to summarize the entire thing here. We'd be here for way longer than we need to be talking about NXT's lighting. So I'm just going to say you can read the dev blog if you are interested in the technical aspects of how NXT is built. And we're actually going to talk about something substantive, and that is our experiences with the NXT beta. I assume we were all part of last weekend's beta test, yes?
Yes.
All right. So, Tanis, I've already talked to Colton about this, but what were your thoughts on the NXT beta?
You know, it exceeded my expectations. I liked it a lot. It's beautiful. I mean, it's really beautiful. I think, you know, I did have some issues. There was a couple times it failed to save. Like when I would log, like it would get stuck and I'd have to close out the client. And then when I would go back into the client, it actually wouldn't start. And said there was a save error. And unfortunately, because I was still like that was I was starting to get real close to my 99 invention, I stopped testing it because I couldn't. I was just scared. I'm like, I can't afford to lose progress, yeah. You know. But I think if they take their time, don't rush it, it's 90% there. I mean, it looks really nice.
Yeah, that's what we found as well. And in fact, you're the only one that really has mentioned crashing issues. So, out of all the people we talked to,
yeah, there was one other person that, like I was talking with on TeamSpeak, and they had it happen too. But it was apparently a pretty rare occurrence. So that's good. It's really good.
Yeah. What was your favorite area graphically wise?
Oh man, there's so many. You know, I'd probably have to agree with Colton. Fort Siren was really cool. Like the water was great and the ships was great. And I really liked my port. I would have to say that was probably my favorite area.
All right. Well, that sounds good. Now, obviously, I think we've said it before, and I mean, we have a full 20-minute micro update on the NXT beta that we put together last weekend because we released early, and with our thoughts on it. But overall, the story coming out of the NXT beta is that it runs much better than the HTML5 beta ever did. It also runs better in terms of not only crashing, but raw performance in terms of frames per second. And I have to say it looks better than HTML5 ever did as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
I mean, every little area that you go to has its unique quirks. The new Falador looks really good. I personally like the Elven Lands, not Prif. I mean, that doesn't mean Priftiness doesn't look good, but I also like the Elven Lands outside of Prif as well in this. So there's that. And one thing that's really apparent with the NXT beta is that if you go into an area that hasn't been graphically updated, like Kiramja, you can really tell the differences of the new graphics versus the old graphics.
Which hopefully will encourage some more graphical reworks.
Yeah, well, I mean, everywhere's been almost done except for that, so...
Yeah.
But RuneScape at 60 frames per second. Never thought we'd be able to say that back when we started off with RS2 back in the day. So very, very impressive. And we're all waiting for, the next NXT beta weekend because it was so good that everybody wanted to keep keep playing it. And I'm actually a little bit surprised that they didn't re-enable it for double XP weekend with all the people playing. So
yeah, I was about to say, I'm experiencing a bit of a problem right now with the client, the fact that it's not letting me in. I want to play it still. And it's Friday, so it's the weekend here. Come on. I don't know. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's good stuff.
Yeah, and it's very technical in terms of how it operates. It runs like a real game, and basically RuneScape's graphics have just scratched the surface of what is possible now that they're working on their native client. So it's going to be a very amazing thing to see where this goes going forward. But if you want the full recap of the NXT beta that we had last weekend, there will be a link in the show notes to that on update.rsbnb.com. Colton and I talked to Dave and Zant, and of course Colton and I also shared our opinions as well. You know, what was supposed to be a micro update turned out to be 20 minutes of us all talking about the NXT beta, so that just shows where the beta is from a point of view to us for as RS players. So
yeah,
update.rsbnb.com. You can find the link to that video in the show notes there. Mm-hmm. Alrighty. So let's see. What's next here? Rune Labs. JAX has opened up a new Rune Labs criteria.
Yep.
For the month of... Well, not for the month of March necessarily, but it's to design more of the Eastern lands. So...
Designed by committee. Till this... pile comes.
There's a big difference with this one this time. And that is that rather than the final options going to a poll, if you look at the Rune Labs criteria by actually going to the Rune Labs website and go to the right-hand column, it will say things are going to be a bit different this time around as there will not be a final poll. While we still encourage you to support your favorite ideas to make them more visible, the team will only be picking ideas out that they feel will fit in with what they are already doing and what is doable in the time available. You're free to suggest anything you like, but it is likely that only smaller ideas will be picked up.
Yes! Finally! This is what I wanted Jagex to do all along. Way to go.
And, I mean, you can see why. It's because every time the choice is given, we end up with something that is combat-related, Slayer-related, or PVM-related, which I have no problem with. Okay, or that. I wasn't going to go there yet.
It's just the same old story.
Yeah. I mean, we had a Slayer month. We've had countless updates to PVM. We have God Wars 2 coming out next month, for crying out loud. But if you look at the top ones here, Con of the Hill, a PvP minigame, is number 2 on here. And that would likely win the poll if this was going in. So, I commend Jagex for doing this in terms of just using Rune Labs as an idea pool and then ultimately determining what their own idea is going to be. Because basically the way it is you can bring up an idea that, you know, relatively boring and bland and maybe even lacking detail if you have the right people voting on it. Whereas with this, there are ideas going all the way down to 35 replies that have JMod, or 35 upvotes that have JMod's replies on them. So it's nice that there's going to be some diversity in what's going to be picked. And to coincide with this, I've curated 3 non-combat ideas that I definitely support. The first one is the Zen Garden, which is bonsai tree farming. And I quote, cool. You would be able to plant your own bonsai tree. You only need to do this once, but you have to keep tending it to keep it alive. The longer your bonsai tree has been alive, / the older it is, the more experience you will get from it, capped at a certain point. You wouldn't be able to pay a farmer to look after it, so it's all on you. The type of bonsai tree you can plant would depend on your farming level. Much the same way you have oak, maple, and yew. It would also be very nice if at level 99 you could plant a sakura tree. I'm not sure what sakura is, but anyways, this also ties into construction, agility, and prayer. Specifically the agility aspect. Once Once a day, you would be able to strike a pose in your garden, like on the Serenity Post. This would be capped at a certain amount of XP. Prayer, provided your bonsai tree is alive and well, and your sand is raked, when you strike a pose to gain agility XP, you zen out and gain prayer experience too.
That is a really cool idea.
Yeah, and then you get like, construction XP for raking the sand.
Huh.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. It's got 37 upvotes right now, so I encourage everyone to go out and support this. That's number one. Number two is tide pools. For basically, a bit of background for anyone who's not aware. Tide pool fishing is the act of using the tides to your advantage and then wading out into the tide to see what you can catch that might have got left behind there. So basically, this is sea fishing in RuneScape. I'll just quote the first paragraph here. People in the eastern lands depend on the sea for a large portion of their food and trade goods. Since they live on islands, there would be areas where tide pools have slowly formed over centuries. Living within these tide pools would be all manner of creatures as well as random objects washed in by the waves that got trapped in the pools whenever the tide was low. So you can see how this would relate to fishing and eventually cooking and whatnot. It also does mention bamboo trinkets and whatnot. So once again, do we have anything in this in-game currently? No. And I think that if we didn't have Jagex choosing support, this idea would have been lost. So I'm hoping this one can also get in there too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And number three is Eastern Lands New Resources. Basically, this one relates to mining and smithing and having level 80 plus resources, because we're going to be getting the mining and smithing rework sometime this year. So this says, in the Eastern Lands, there will be a fun and exciting things to find, and what I'm proposing is new types of trees, bushes, herbs, and hops that we can grow to grant us new ingredients that can be used to craft new bows, potions, and beers. On addition to this, we could also manipulate the smithing and mining rework around the Eastern Lands by adding new minerals to the land, in which turn can be used to smelt and then smith them into new armors and weapon, and possibly tools too. As this will probably be high-end content, these levels should be range from 80 plus to be able to interact with these pieces of content. The new trees can only be player grown, and the seeds will be accessible by killing native NPCs or possibly buying them from a local trader. The logs from the trees will be tradable also. New mining materials will be dotted around the mainland, but the higher and richer minerals will be located deep in the earth's crust, which will grant high tier minerals needed to smelt and smith the armor, weapons, and tools. This currently has 46 upvotes. So those are the three that I'm going to be supporting this round, and I would recommend everyone go read them, and if you're willing, lend support to them. I think that these are probably three of the best updates that are there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, links will be in the show notes at update.rspmb.com to these exact Rune Labs links. So... you know, I think this is the first time that I felt confident about Rune Labs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm fine with that. How about you guys?
Agreed. I think that they've made it... I think that this should have been the case all along, but it's nice to finally have Rune Labs, I think, in a way that is most manageable and most logical.
Indeed. Anything else on this Rune Labs criteria or things you'd like to draw attention to?
Nope.
Colton?
Not me, no. I mean, I think it's real interesting. I honestly, before now, didn't even know that it was a thing. But I think it's really cool. I'll probably dig more into some ideas that may tickle my fancy a bit more here in a bit.
All righty. And as it is the end of February, we have the March Behind the Scenes, and God Wars Dungeon 2 is coming out in March.
Mm-hmm.
You guys excited? That doesn't sound very exciting.
Tentatively.
Well, I am excited. I think they should... I ain't seen it yet, so I don't know. But... I'm very leery about this being released in March. Please don't rush it. Take your time. If it comes out in April, that's fine. If it comes out in May, that's fine. Just make sure it's right. That's all I want.
All right. And I mean, most things aside from the invention QA have been pretty good so far in recent memory with Jagex, so I'm not too worried personally. But this, much like the Slayer month, is going to be released over several weeks. And they say you'll learn how the brutal conflict actually started. So
yeah, that's my main.
Yeah.
What I wondered though is why. Okay, I'm really curious of what they have done with this, because I feel like with the gods that are in it, they're going to have to come up with something really good, because I thought, well, why wouldn't they use, I mean, with Saliski's in-game going on, like, all this stuff, like, it could have been tied in. I mean, maybe it is tied in, but I thought, you know, like, it could have been, like, Saliski's arena. I mean, it's God Wars 2. Way to catchy. That's catchy stuff right there.
I mean, the only stuff they've said thus far is that, so there's anima there, basically, and people are fighting for the resource of anima power stuff. But it's like, do any of these gods, is this sanctioned by any of the gods? Are they actually like actively telling their followers, yeah, go here, do this? Or is it one of those things where they're taking it into their own hands? Because I mean, in most cases with Sliske, his followers are really the only ones doing this. He's typically hands off, like, I don't really care, you know? So it'll be interesting. And Zaros normally, at least from what he's told us, doesn't want to have a hand in that kind of stuff anymore. He just wants to go after the Elder Gods, like he's been saying. So it'll be interesting. And apparently the mechanics of actually, like, the fighting and everything down there will be quite different. And there will be some added twists, from what I've heard, to the normal combat experience. So it should be interesting.
Yeah, well,
I'm excited to see how it's implemented.
I mean, let's face it here. The initial God Wars dungeon, I think, came out in
07,
right? And that's almost 10 years ago. And so much has evolved since then. Yeah. And, I mean, aside from adding a hard mode, there really wasn't much to do. Like, yes, you can add a hard mode, make things hit harder, and have more life points. But
Add next,
right? But it doesn't change mechanics, which the mechanics today are completely different than the mechanics from 2007. So I think that is going to be the big story coming out of this, is how do you take the new mechanics, apply it to some new lore, and come up with an entirely different experience? So,
yeah.
It's going to be very interesting to see, because another thing that caught my eye is that in the actual article itself, it says once the location has been found, you'll need to work with the community to clear out the chamber and rebuild its entrance to former glory, erecting statues and even training local recruits to deal with the challenges found within in case the war spills out onto the surface world.
They even made it sound like you're going to have to... It's almost like a Kingdom-esque, like Throne of Miscellanea type.
Yes.
Because it sounds like you're going to have to kind of build a reputation. So
yeah.
And almost then, a mini-game in a boss
with
arena.
The backstories gathered, entrance rebuilt, teleports unlocked, and a reputation made, you'll have all the things you need to stride boldly into the dungeon itself for the month's final update. Taking on the battle-hardened foes that lie behind its archaic doors.
That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, except for those of us who don't like PvM combat.
Yeah. Yeah, true. But... Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no. Lore books. No!
Buddy.
I just thought of that. Crap. I'll be losing my cape soon. I'll cherish it while I have it.
Well, we know what you're going to be doing then.
Correct. Oh, goodness.
Yeah. But it's going to be focusing on Saren, Sliske, Zaros, and Zamorak. That's different.
Yeah, I mean, hold on. I think it's a little weird that they're bringing back Zami. I mean, Zaros was in the other one, but it was sort of in a unique, very different way because all of the Zaros stuff was separated and they weren't directly fighting everyone else. Whereas now it seems like they'll actually be in the fray, the Zarosians will. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we can only wait and see.
Yeah, exactly.
Zaros, Saren, Zami, and Saliske.
That's some very interesting...
Well, but three of these are gods, and one of them was never confirmed, but now they're with the other gods.
That's exactly why I'm wondering, like, is this actually Sliske's work? Is this something he sent people to do? Because I kind of doubt it. And if Sliske's endgame ends how I think, with either Sliske deposed or killed or what have you, what's going to happen to this God Wars dungeon? So I mean, obviously Bandos, even though he died in the game, his followers continued on, but that was more of because from the lore, they're frozen in time.
Yes.
Whereas this one,
yeah.
I don't think you have that out.
And
so,
see, if this is below the initial God Wars dungeon, I don't know how that can happen, but
it's not.
Oh, it's not.
No, it looks like it's in the desert from what
yeah.
I can see.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, at this point, we're just speculating, and I don't think speculation does much for anyone. So,
yeah.
Also coming in March, invention gear for skilling, including fishing and wood cutting.
Mm-hmm.
No note here on mining, which is weird.
Yeah.
And they say, sorry for the delay.
I wish they'd explain why it was delayed.
Yeah, me too. But... you know, given the past things that we've talked about with Invention this episode and when it was released, I think as long as it comes out and it is done properly, I think that is something to be happy about.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So, I'm not going to complain about how long it takes. Just get it right to make sure it works.
Better late than never.
Indeed. Easter, of course, this month, and Chronicle Open Beta. And, of course, if you're the artistic type, you can win a life-size RuneScape weapon.
Ooh.
Yeah, this time I think it's going to be the Dragonfire Shield.
Cool.
I mean, it'd be nice if some of us here were artists aside from stick figures, right?
Yeah. We're just all blessed with different talent.
Yeah. Alrighty then. Well, that's it for RS updates this week, unless you guys have anything else you'd like to mention.
I'm good.
Alright, well, Colton, read us the first question then.
Alrighty, our first question is from the lovely Trekkie. He says, bonus XP weekend is here again. While most of us are starting to have 99s for those who... while most of us are starting to have 99s, for those of us who have been there for a long time, what other bonus weekends would you like to see? Bonus drops / potential for high medium level drops to double, bonus harvest weekend, given like gathering skills, woodcutting, mining, farming.
Absolutely not.
For different items, or bonus points for mini games, those sorts of things. If you wanted a bonus weekend, even if each of the 3 days were different, what would you want to see more of? Redo all the quest weekend.
That would be interesting, a quest replay weekend, but once again, technical limitations.
Yeah, I withhold that and I will maintain that that is what I want.
All right. Fair enough. For me, I always like the themed ones, you know, Slayer XP, bonus Slayer XP, bonus Dungeoneering tokens are always good, bonus Dungeoneering XP from sinkholes is always good, but that could probably fit into a minigame weekend. And, I mean, we already kind of have minigame weekends with the minigame focus and the Thaler shop, so it's less of an issue now than it was in the past, but I still think having odd minigame weekends where you get double XP or double rewards is good. I mean, we had one, I think, not too long ago in December, you know, where you could do double mini games and do Livid Farm if you really wanted to knock that off. So, I like mini game weekends and Dungeoneering weekends. Though I will say, well, the double drop weekends from bosses and whatnot are fun. That can play havoc with the economy.
Yep.
So I think those should be done sparingly, probably on the order of once a year.
So. Yeah, that was like my initial reaction was like, oh, yes, on the double drops. I'm like, no, wait, no, because it all evens out, so it wouldn't matter. The prices would drop, so just... It would just be crazy. So no, I'm with the mini games myself, because more and more of us are maxing. The next step is comp. So give me some Livid Farm, because the Lord knows I don't want to do it otherwise. Oh. I really don't want to do it otherwise.
No. I would.
I didn't make the wreck, man. I didn't make the wreck.
Yeah, I would be behind a. double temple trekking XP weekend. That would be very fun and very useful.
That would be cool.
I've been wanting to level those idiots up to level 99.
Be great for the Iron Man.
Yeah. So, actually, yeah, let me just say then, double temple trekking XP weekend. That is what I have to get behind. Because I still want to get that done.
I'm holding firm with the living... Farm? Can we call it a farm?
Yeah. No, just lump that in with mini games and whatnot, and you'll be good.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Trekkie. Next one is from Thieves. Hey, guys. This is a question I've been thinking about to myself all week. Where do you guys think you'd be in life if you hadn't found RuneScape all those years ago? Keep up the good work. From Thieves.
God. I mean, I was really into N64 games and just playing regular console games before I started with RuneScape. I guess it wasn't still N64 at that point. It was PlayStation 2. So, and GameCube. But I probably would have stuck with console games and not been as sociable a person, because everyone knows console games make you a terrible human. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't think I would have changed too much. I mean, I wouldn't get the joy that I do from, and I wouldn't have gotten all the friends that I have, but I think I would have turned out to be fairly similar to who I am now. I don't know. Maybe that's me.
All right. Tanis?
Well, for me, like, some of my best friends in life I actually made on here. So, it'd be a lot different without them. On top of that, yeah, I would probably still be a console gamer myself. And the problem would be that RuneScape really kind of opened me up to PCs in general. I mean, it was playing RuneScape where I learned more about the hardware of computers and wanting to build a new one and wanting to stream and wanting to do all this stuff. But I wouldn't have wanted to do any of that without first playing RuneScape. Like, yeah, a lot has actually came from this game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Same thing on the friends front, lots of great people that I've met as well. So, I don't think you can entertain what a possibility would look like if you hadn't met or become friends with someone. So that is definitely one big thing. Another thing is that, lots of experience gained from writing code for the website and coming up with things like that. Lots of experience gained managing people. Lots of experience gained with audio engineering. You name it. Everything relating to this podcast. So. Go ahead, Colton.
I was just going to say that, honestly, when I started playing, this game was sort of an escape for me.
Still is.
Yeah. I mean, not to the same degree because I was sort of a sad kid initially. I don't know why, but I came here to kind of get away from real life, which I wasn't really enjoying who I was. And it kind of made me change that view. I don't know why, but I think RuneScape really helped me become more confident, strange as that sounds, but I don't know, and just appreciate who I am in life and how blessed I am. It's strange. These are really, really weird and kind of broad scope things, but I really do appreciate what RuneScape has done for me. So, and it's made me type faster. So that's nice.
Oh, yeah, of course, of course. you know, there's the typing, and of course, there's also the one that says, okay, RuneScape's market before the Grand Exchange taught me the first economics class I ever took.
Yep. Is that?
I mean, price floors, shortages, abundant surpluses of everything that all existed in RuneScape at one point or another, and it really shows how economics works based on people. So there's that too. And going forward from that, I think, I mean, it has to have been done somewhere, but I haven't ever searched for it, but I would like to see someone do a master's thesis or PhD thesis on virtual economies.
Oh, I thought that was a thing. I thought someone did that.
Oh, okay. I've never looked it up.
On RuneScape specifically, I thought.
Oh, okay.
That's what I heard.
Interesting. Well, we'll have to look that up. So that's there. But yeah, this is definitely, I think, something that lots of people are thinking about, given it's RuneScape's 15th year, and also the 15th documentary, which we're still waiting to hear from on a release date, because we've all been there and we've all had different perspectives through everything that has been released on RS, and it's going to be interesting to see it from all these different perspectives and where the commonalities come in for me, you, the listeners, and everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So, definitely looking forward to that this year, and I think Thieves' question is right on the mark, something everybody can ask each other as they're inevitably going to be watching the RS documentary.
I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, me too. I really am. We're going to do some kind of commentary on that. Not sure with who yet or how that's going to work, but it'll happen.
Yeah. My fiance is super into documentaries. Like, that's all she watches. So I'm totally going to make her watch this.
Oh, good. 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 I'll give you a good documentary that you can two good documentaries to watch after we're done the show. Remind me about that.
Oh, okay. Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll like them.
Good.
Are they Michael Moore documentaries, Shane?
No.
Absolutely not. All right.
Let's not get
I just want to know what he would say.
Anything else for Thieves' question?
I'm good.
That was it.
Thank you, Thieves. If you guys want to send questions or discussion topics in, send them to questions@rsbnb.com. And they don't have to be a question as of how do I do something or what do you think of something. It can be a topic for us to discuss in the show. So we definitely want your topics as well. So questions@rsbnb.com, or leave us a text message or voicemail at our Google Voice number, which is 571-57-BNB or 571-572-2632. Alrighty, and as you said, Tanis, this has made you more knowledgeable about hardware in general, and I'd like to think that's because we cover tech news religiously on this podcast.
I get all of my tech news from RSBNB.
Exactly.
Update.
And that's why I try and cover things that are beneficial to the RuneScape audience in terms of technology, because you play this on a computer currently, so you should know something a little bit about the device you're playing. So this week we're going to talk about Facebook's reactions. So ever since Facebook has first been around, they had the like button, and that's become synonymous with Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And this week they brought out Facebook reactions. So in addition to like, you can now love, haha, wow, sad, or angry at a post. There's images associated with each one, and it'll give a breakdown to the post author how many have given a certain reaction to each post. And, you know, this is something people have wanted because they say, this doesn't sound right that I want to say I like a post about a death in someone's family.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
yeah, that's true.
You know, you don't want to like something negative or, you know, something that is ultimately going to be positive. You want to express yourself even more so. So you can do that now with each of these. And they have a video here on the news posting of how it works. Really intuitive. You basically click the initial like button and then you just swipe left to right and you get access to each one of the animated statuses for each thing. So this has been a long time coming for Facebook, I think. And it takes the like from a binary option up to one that can truly express emotion, which, I mean, yeah, that's good for posting and whatnot, but it's also good for marketing teams helping to understand what certain reactions to posts actually are. So
yeah,
that's a bit of the underhood aspect of it from how can we better sell your like data or reaction data on Facebook.
They already sort of started this now that I think about it. They kind of back, because if certain events were going on, like debates, for instance, as you would see, like, the general reactions of people. And obviously, with especially with political debates, you're going to get a very skewed view of that, given Facebook's demographic. But there would be, like, a bar showing various different people reacting. And basically, everyone would click on either, like, happy, angry, sad, all those, like, various emotions, excited, those sorts of things, that it would show you, like, a very simplified and kind of cool bar graph of the percentages of people that are feeling certain ways about certain events. And they've been doing that for at least a few months. So I think it was just sort of a kind of a step-by-step, like, let's just try this out, see how it works. And I think it's good. It's a good step.
Yeah, and I mean, it signals an evolution to the platform as well, and that it's not just, you know, a standard upvote that says, okay, this post is good. You can say something without actually replying to it, which is, I think, really expressed by the way they chose to do this with six emojis, like love, haha, wow, sad, and angry. And each one of them has the specific emoji associated with it. So, very interesting indeed. And it just kind of signals the place, I want to say, Facebook is at in our world. So,
I didn't get my dislike button, though, and that's really all that I wanted.
But yeah. This is better, don't you see?
I mean, the dislike button could be thought of as like a downvote, kind of.
I mean, yeah, but there's so many things that come up in my feed where I'm like, you're so stupid.
Well,
where's
you can
my
go angry.
Where's like Shake's head? I know, but angry doesn't describe it. Sometimes I just like feel sorry for you for sharing this.
Sarcastic sympathy.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure people are having their very own reactions to this post. So, alrighty. Next piece of tech news relates to Windows 10. Now, when Windows 10 was first announced, one of the hallmarks of the platform was going to be that app developers on both Android and iOS were going to be able to port their applications easily. The bridge to port applications from iOS exists and is still in testing, but Microsoft has abandoned the Android bridge. So this means that applications that are going to be designed for Windows Phone either need to be coded once again natively for Windows Phone, ported from Windows, or ported from an iOS application. They're no longer going to be able to run Android applications. And, I mean, it's kind of unfortunate that this is the case, but if you think about it, every major important application has an application for iOS. So if you can port from iOS easily, then I don't think you are going to be having a problem. And let's also remember that a good chunk of the Android App Store suffers from quality control issues, unlike the Apple App Store. So people who are invested in the iOS platform are typically publishing higher quality applications than those on Android. But with that being said, Microsoft also acquired a cross-platform development kit this week, that is going to allow developers to write code once and deploy it to pretty much any platform. So rather than writing for Android first, you're going to write for Windows first and port to Android. So that's the news here. But ultimately, hopefully this means that the Windows 10 mobile application front will still get a much needed infusion of applications. Because let's remember that as it stands right now, aside from the big major applications, nobody's really writing applications for Windows Mobile, which is kind of disappointing. Do either of you guys know anyone who uses Windows Phone aside from Reed?
Nope.
All right. How about anyone who uses the Windows App Store on Windows 10?
Nope.
No. Okay. So as you can tell, that is a major issue that Microsoft doesn't want to fix. And I hope that for the good of the Windows 10 platform, they will find a way to make this work and have universal applications across the entire Windows 10 spectrum. So yeah. For those of you guys waiting to be able to use ported Android apps, well, it's not going to happen, unfortunately. All right. Any comments on this or anything else before I move on?
No, not in particular.
Alrighty. Well, we got a bit of an update on the big story from last week and what continued to be a big story this week, and that is the Apple versus the FBI case in relation to the San Bernardino terrorist attack. As it stands right now, Apple is still holding firm, and they will be going to a congressional hearing on March 1st, in which they will detail their case against the FBI. I don't know who is ultimately going to win this one. I personally think that Apple will have to be compelled to perform the service on this device.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But with that being said, Google, Facebook, and Twitter are all filing court motions, that is actual legal motions that say, hey, we support Apple in this regard, and we would be doing the same thing if they were in their position. So this is basically shaping up to look like it's going to be a large percentage of the big tech companies against the FBI. So.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, I do have a bit of an update as well pertaining to the actual backdoor issue that we talked about on last week's episode. You might remember that we said that, okay, so if this software is inevitably created, it means that this would be able to maybe fall into the hands of a malicious person at Apple or the FBI and have any iPhone be decrypted at will. But the reality of the matter is the following. If you have an iPhone that is the 5S or newer, that device cannot be decrypted regardless of how hard you might want to try, because its encryption keys are stored securely in the device, and if it's tampered with, they're just removed and you lose all access to that device. So there is no decrypting anything newer than an iPhone 5S, assuming you have a passcode on it. The second issue with this is that, well, Apple says that we don't want to decrypt this device. They have decrypted these devices before, and they're for the 5C and older. Now, with that being said, whenever you would download an update to iOS, you know that it has to be signed by Apple. And you might have noticed also that when you download from the iOS or download from Apple, you cannot downgrade to the previous version of the operating system, right?
Yeah.
And that is this signing, the secure signing based on your unique device ID and Apple's own encryption keys that prevent you from doing such a thing. And any update that's created to you know, brute force a password or a passcode would need to be signed by the same methodology by Apple. So there is no danger in having a different version of iOS seep out into the world and have it, you know, maliciously installed on devices without users' consent. It's very hard to do that, to bypass the signing procedure. So it is something that is not creating a backdoor for, you know, the masses. It's just tailored to each specific device. And I'm sure Apple would guard that software very clearly. And that's led me to take the stance that Apple is doing this from a marketing point of view. So that's my revised stance going forward on this after re-examining what's happened in the last week. So I don't know what's going to happen with this, but I think that Apple is going to be on the losing side. How about you guys?
Yeah, if the FBI really wants it, I mean, who are they to say no?
Well, this is America, so until I heard about the congressional stuff, now I have a whole different view. Whoever pays Congress more money will get their way. And I'm guessing the tech companies has more money than the FBI. It's just the way it's done.
I don't know. I mean, it could escalate all the way to the Supreme Court, but once again, yeah, that just
it'll be tied. That's not even going to get filled for another year.
Yeah, and I mean, that's setting a precedent regardless. And ultimately, when you think about it, this has been done before for 5Cs and previous devices, so why isn't it happening for such a case here? Like, this service has been performed before by Apple for this kind of device, so why not now?
I don't know.
That's the question that I have. That's my one big lingering question.
Was it pre-Snowden or post?
That's a very good question. I don't know.
Because I think that wouldn't make a difference to me on where I came down on it.
Yeah, that doesn't make a difference to me at all. I mean, as a regard, when you split it into pre and post Snowden, you automatically have to assume that if you are worried about your privacy, you must assume that you are being watched. You must assume that your communications are being intercepted. So, if you are worried about privacy in, you know, huge degrees.
Probably not really supposed to be. Like, I don't know. It's one of those tricky things, but I worry less about security than I do setting precedents and giving our rights away. I'm not big on that. I don't worry about security like that.
Yeah, and I mean, see, the thing is, though, if this were to come down, you could go and get a open source version of Android and install your own encryption that is going to be not crackable. So, okay. Because it ultimately comes down to how strong of an encryption do you want. So, that's the way the ball bounces on this.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, so that's it for tech news, everyone. Let's talk a bit about skill of the month. Currently, we have the Constitution skill of the month going on, and we have had a lead change since last week. Sorensen 57 is now in first place with 6.8 million experience gained. You wow. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Just,
it's an interesting race. Davo like flatlined, and all of a sudden Sorensen just.
Yep, 5.5 million XP for Dave and 4.1 for Parnassius. So we got 3 or 4 days left in the month, so we'll have to wait and see what ultimately happens with Dave and Sorensen here. But given that it's double XP weekend, anything can happen.
Very true.
So let's just wait and see what we got happening come Monday. And of course, as promised, we are doing an invention skill of the month for March. So if you want to sign up for that, just head on over to rsbnb.com/skotm.
And we'll actually have skilling at least for part of the month, we'll be able to skill for Invention XP. So sign up, everyone.
Yeah, I hope that comes out sooner in the month rather than later.
Yeah, agreed. One would think that it would be one of the more prepared updates.
Yeah, and I mean, until it comes out, I think I'm just going to keep farming energy and selling it.
So. I'm going to keep doing clue scrolls.
Yay! All right, well, let's go through some achievements of the week. Colton, let's alternate on these.
All righty, then.
So first up, Arcane, a.k.a. Dave, 99 Invention on the 22nd.
And this weird guy named Tanis 7. Sorry. Tanis 79. Got 99 Invention on February 22nd, 2016.
Congratulations. What made you go for it right off the bat?
Oh, I had to get back in the guild, man. Okay. I had to go home. All right. I was tired of sleeping in a tent in my port and stuff. I needed that boss portal. I needed to go.
Living like a pleb.
Yeah.
And Sorensen 57 also got 99 Invention on the 20th. So 399 Inventions so far in this achievement of the week here.
See, we were all tired of sleeping on the benches and hanging out in Priv Square.
All right. Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Now, just remind everyone that we also do have our weekly PC gaming event that happens every Tuesday. We mostly play TF2, but sometimes Half-Life 2 as well. So if you want to join us, we run our own server. We chat in our Discord channel. So this happens every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Or no, I'm sorry. 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. And TF2 or Half-Life 2 Deathmatch we play. We chat in Discord. It's all around a good fun time. So if you want to come and join us, play TF2 or Half-Life 2 every Tuesday, 10 p.m. Eastern.
And, I need to get that game.
Yeah.
I don't have either one, actually.
TF2 is free to play.
Oh, is it?
It is.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I think Half-Life 2 is around $15 or so. So they're relatively cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool.
I've been trying to get Colton to come.
Classes are early, and I'm bad with sleeping. I want to come, but it's like every Tuesdays I have lab like right before, and so I'm usually working on my lab report because it's fresh in my mind. But yeah,
all right.
I'll come.
We do host our own servers, so it's a fully controlled environment and lots of great fun. So it's once again every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern time. Follow us on Twitter at RSBNB for full information about when it's happening, Discord links, and everything like that. Or just find it in the show notes here at update.rsbnb.com. We have a link to it this week. Mm-hmm. Alrighty, so I have hijacked Pick of the Week once again.
How dare you?
Yeah, well, I thought it'd be okay with you guys.
Oh yeah, and when you suggested it, I'm shocked that we haven't done this one yet, because I think this was brought up like back in the fall or something when I first heard about it.
Yeah, so. It was, but I used this as a pick of the week in 2012.
Oh wow. Okay.
So, you know, there is a time where we can reuse picks of the week
when it's culturally relevant.
Yeah,
again,
I mean, or we reboot something like that. So it's fair. And the pick is isidewith.com. It is a quiz that fits into the U.S. current election cycle, and it tells you who you are most likely aligned to from a candidate's perspective. And before I get too far in this, I'll tell you guys that regardless of what this quiz says, it ultimately comes down to who you feel is right. So there's a whole bunch of questions, and you can get really detailed if you want to be, or you can just answer the basic questions and it'll give you a bit of a stance on it. I recommend answering all of the questions. It helps figure out where you want to be, but it goes questions based on social issues, environmental issues, and then all the way down to economic issues, domestic policy, healthcare, electoral issues, criminal issues, foreign policy, education, immigration, and science. And it rates it on the entire slate of candidates. It doesn't update for candidates who have dropped out, but it's there mainly for an information's sake. So you can take this quiz at isidewith.com. It shares it in your web browser's history, or it rather stores the results in your web browser's history, so you can come back to it if you want to see the results at a later date, which is really a great thing. And it's a good way also just to learn about the process and learn about the candidates who are currently active in this cycle. So that's at isidewith.com.
Mm-hmm.
Something that you can take, and once again, don't treat it as gospel, but I think that this is definitely one of the least biased types of these quizzes out there, because there are lots of them that are biased. This one is fairly neutral, I'd say.
Yeah.
So
it seems fairly accurate.
iSideWith.com, give it a go. And if you are Canadian, there's actually a Canadian version that you can take too for our previous election. So, yeah.
Huh.
I'm not sure if they have any other ones, but they got it for all sides.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. iSideWith.com. Take the quiz.
Do it.
Alrighty, so what have we been up to? Let's start with you, Tanis.
Okay, so I've been working on Invention really hard, and I think I finished that Monday. And since then, I have just basically screwed around breaking stuff down for chargebacks, and I have been playing ATS, American Truck Simulator.
Oh, wow.
If you haven't seen a blind guy drive an 18-wheeler, it's quite the adventure. Let me tell you. Oh, yes.
And you stream this on Twitch?
I will be. I haven't streamed it yet because I was kind of getting a feel for it. So it turns out I can keep it between the lines sometimes, but not so much on when it comes to stop signs or red lights. Or I pretty much just unfortunately blow right through those. And I found out that you can't hit the brakes on an 18-wheeler because I was like just trucking, just had the hammer down, buddy. I was listening to trucker music. And I hit the brakes and someone slowed down in front of me on the interstate and I just jackknifed that rig. I was laying on my side. It was terrible. But it's a lot of fun. And there's actually a multiplayer mod and people are like real serious about their trucking. They'll be like, you're going over the speed limit, slow it down.
I'm
like,
oh, so is it multiplayer?
There's a mod for multiplayer, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The normal version it's like a very well known, accepted, safe mod for the multiplayer end of it.
Okay. What about RuneScape related?
Just dismantling stuff, making lots of charge packs.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's good. And of course, you can find Tanis's Informer article at informer.rsbnb.com. Good article once again, Tanis. Thank you very much for that one.
Oh, thank you.
Colton, how about you?
Just been NRS. It's been more clues because that's how I've been doing it. Even during this double XP weekend, I had like some protean planks and I got rid of them and then it was back to thieving. So, I've been just doing a lot more clue scrolls. Nothing cool yet. I mean, some pages and that kind of stuff. I mean, got some good profit from that, but nothing big yet. It'll happen eventually. I think I'm at 127.
127 clues done? Okay.
Yeah, elite clues. Yeah. So, who knows? Once I hit 1,000, maybe. You know, maybe. We'll see. But
We'll see.
Yeah. In real life, just been more school stuff. Been getting ready for my sister's wedding, which is in a couple weeks, and all kinds of stuff. So just life, trying to take deep breaths.
All righty. As for me this week on RS, mainly just farming energy and preparing for the double XP weekend. On double XP weekend, I will be doing Herblore. I think I have slotted around 1,900 Sheridoman brews that I'm going to make, as well as any other herbs that I can use in my bank and secondaries that I can find. I think a lot of them are going to be anti-fire potions, mainly because I have the ability to get the dragon scales from thieving, and I have lots of lantadimies already, so there's that. I'm also going to try and do some adrenaline potions with super energy potions as well. And, you know, given that it's the Well of Goodwill weekend, might as well dump a good portion of that stuff in there, that into the well. So that'll be good.
Very good.
Yeah, I think I'm also going to put two bonds in as well. Might as well do that.
Nice.
Because I think the bonds are easier, have a better conversion rate. Because 18 million, around 18 million GP for two bonds, that'd be about $10. Whereas, let's see, so it was, what was it? 3 million for $1. So yeah, 30 million GP otherwise. So you can have more of an impact by converting your GP to bonds, I believe, if you have the amount of money. So that's what I'm going to do with that this weekend. So, but aside from that, not much. I don't think there's anything else we need to talk about today.
Nope. I think we covered it.
Alrighty then. Well, thank you for joining us, Tannis. Once again, great having you on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
And Colton, as always, your contributions are excellent.
Well, of course, it's lovely being on.
Yes. So with that said, we'll see you next week, everyone. And remember to follow us on Twitter for PC gaming and everything else we do during the week. Thank you for sharing your time with us.
Farewell.
Happy Game Blast.